start with the motivation. I mean, this idea came about when we were talking to our customers who happen to be major service providers. Now, the service providers have been providing network services to enterprises, and the model is kind of, you know, production of service and consumer of service. And one of the most popular services that enterprise use today is the VPN service. So here, the model is very simple. The service network service provider will give you different options to create VPN, and the enterprise has the need to interconnect different geographically disparate sites into one common network, and so they'll use this one. Now, this VPN service has been kind of a, you know, bit transferring service for the service provider, and they want to go higher in the value chain by offering more value-added services that can exploit not only bit transfer but also some of the network-based services. So one of the things that, you know, they would like to do is, their vision is to build a cloud where that can be used by the enterprise. And there is a synergy also from the enterprise side, where the enterprise, you know, if they have ever increasing need for resources, IT resources, so they, you know, want to, instead of, you know, investing a lot of OPEX and CAPEX, they want to move these resources in the cloud and manage them, you know, offshore, so that, you know, they don't have to worry about any of this resource CAPEX and OPEX. So there is a synergy there. And so, you know, once the business deal is struck, there will be a cloud created in the network, and the enterprise is going to use that. So both VPN and cloud service will be integrated as a service offer, and the enterprise is going to buy that and use this one. So this was the motivation for thinking about this problem, and so we'll be concentrating only on the part, you know, how do I create a service provider-centric cloud that can be used by the enterprise to outsource their IT resources. Okay, so now let's look into different parts of it. Okay, so this one is showing a, you know, service provider network where different enterprise is connecting to, and they lease VPN service. So VPN service means, you know, they get a link which has pre-specified bandwidth guaranteed with the service provider. So the enterprise is guaranteed a certain amount of upload and download bandwidth, and then they get a view of, you know, its own network is residing in the service provider's network, and it is protected, privacy and isolation and all these things are ensured, and all the 5.9/6.9 reliability is ensured by the service provider. Now, this kind of VPN service, what it allows, it not only connecting different sites, it also allows the enterprise to access the same resource from different sites. And that makes the enterprise, you know, currently they're building only one or a few number of, you know, large private data center within the enterprise, maybe one or two sites, and then letting all the other geographically dispersed sites to come over the VPN service and access that kind of resources. So the next common, you know, logical thing for the enterprise is, now I already have a private cloud, can I not outsource it to my provider as well? Now, if you look at the VPN service from the enterprise's point of view, so this is how it will look like. So they will have some sort of, you know, edge gateway, if you will. Again, I'm not getting into the details of it. And they are interconnected using some sort of routers and a network. And the value that the enterprise brings is their network, okay? And bringing these edge gateways, close to the enterprise, they can ensure that, you know, they can solve a lot of, you know, bandwidth-guaranteed operations or latency-sensitive operations. Now, so the service provider view now is to create a cloud where they can leverage their main resource, which is the network. But service provider's cloud is very different, or is going to be very different than the cloud that we are used to. Okay, the cloud we are used to is the Amazon. I'm referring to Amazons of the world, where you have large data centers, but a few of these kind of services, a few of those clouds. So the way service provider cloud is getting built as we speak is they are using their current facilities, which are, you know, spread all over the network, And they're building small clouds there because, you know, they already, these are essentially the existing central offices of the service provider where there is already space, air conditioning, power, everything is there. So they're, but it is not a very big facility. So they are building small data centers, but they will be spread all across the geographical region. And so here the idea would be how, you know, so they would be providing the enterprise service from this kind of cloud. And the edge that they will have over the Amazons of the world is, you know, here they would be able to provide more bandwidth guaranteed operations or, you know, latency sensitive operations. But the challenge now is how do I make sure, or how the service provider make sure that a large enterprise is able to leverage this kind of, you know, distributed cloud, okay? And in this talk, I mean, ideally, I mean, you would like to outsource all your computing needs, you know, IT, so it could be computing, storage, and whatnot. But in this paper, I mean, we have talked only about, you know, how to outsource the storage services, okay? And that is what I'll be concentrating on. So just to, you know, show you the differentiation. So this is the current model where you have the network and you have these big data centers, Amazons of the world, and services created in the data center and then, you know, provided to the users. From there, we are moving to a model where the network is there and the cloud is built using small data centers across the network and the service is enabled within the network and then provided to the end users. Now, what does the enterprise expect from a, you know, storage cloud service? So the first thing is if different enterprise come to the same location, so they would like to be isolated from one another, okay? So the red one will be using only the red resources and we want to make sure, you know, they don't overlap and things like that. So isolation is something that we must provide. The second thing is location independence. So regardless of which location the enterprise is coming to, the enterprise may come to the location that is closest to it, but it should get the same look and feel of the service. So regardless of, you know, what application I'm using or what file I'm accessing, I should always get the feel that, you know, I'm getting the same service. But the resources could be distributed all across the service provider's cloud. So this is the location independence. And the third thing that we are addressing is seamlessness, where for an enterprise, it should not matter whether the resource is in the cloud or in the local area network itself. So it should be seamless, so long as, you know, it shouldn't matter about, you know, how we are going about doing this one. Now, so these are the three problems that we need to solve for this kind of IT outsourcing for enterprise. The location, isolation, location independence, and seamlessness. Now for isolation, there are some, I mean, solutions that exist, and here also, I mean, we presented our solutions in a hot cloud setting a year or a couple of years ago. So in this work, we are not, you know, addressing that part. And but by the way, there are other solutions also exist. I mean, some work was done in AT&T research and things like that. But in this paper, we are addressing two other features that enterprise wants. One is location, and the other is seamlessness. So now let's look into, you know, how you can provide this kind of features. So let's take one enterprise as an example. So this enterprise has three locations, and it is connecting to the cloud using these three gateway nodes. Okay, so and these red lines are showing the VPN connections that they have. Now, this enterprise, I mean, we are taking a very simple example. It has two files that it wants to, you know, outsource. So this is the file system that it is outsourcing into the cloud. And the file will be chunked in, you know, two parts, and it will be replicated twice. So the problem in question is now, how would a service provider take this kind of demand, okay, and then find the right location where it will be stored so that all the properties that I have described can be provided to the enterprise, okay? So now instead of coming to the solution, let's approach the problem differently. So if I have a solution, how would I use it? And that will essentially motivate about, you know, how we go about solving this problem. So let's say by some means I found a solution that, you know, these are the four nodes where these two files, P and Q, will be stored. So in C1, I'm storing, both files are, you know, chunked twice, so P1 and P2, and Q1 and Q2. So C1 is storing P1, Q1, and so on and so forth. Now, when an enterprise user is going to access these files, it will be always using the shortest path for this example to save the network resources. So when user accesses from location one, it will be going to C1 and C2. Similarly, when it accesses from U2 location, it will be these two, and for following U3, it will be this. Now, if I can make sure that, you know, the ratio of size between P1 and P2 is same as ratio of the, you know, ratio of Q1 and Q2, then it is easy to see that the traffic that will be flowing from flowing between E1 and C1, which is the black line, is beta times the traffic that is flowing between E1 and C2, okay, which is the purple line, okay. And you can just, you know, follow this example, and you can see that, you know, this is valid for all the locations, okay, and it is valid for both any file P and Q. So this kind of gives us the motivation or kind of the intuition, saying that, you know, if I could store the files in this fashion, then regardless of which location the user is accessing the file, it is, you know, it will be always, you know, the black line is, you know, beta times the purple line, and it is regardless of, you know, what file the user is using.
Is there an assumption here that the access patterns for both files are the same?
Currently, we are going with that. Yeah. So regardless of, you know, which file is accessed, you know, from whatever location, it is always the same. Now that gives. So now we can, you know, go get into the reverse gear and say, okay, if I know this property, then can I come up with this any sort of the placement problem, and then you can formulate the problem like this. I'm not going to get into the details of the math, but just to give you some idea about, you know, what we are talking about here is this the parameter lambda is kind of a tuning parameter. I'll explain that in a moment. So this one is saying that, you know, your network resource, you will be never be able to exceed the capacity of a link, which is represented by the, you know, capacity of edge E. And, you know, the file has to be, you know, the whole file has to be stored, so summation of all the fractions should sum up to one. And the chunks that we are going to use for each file has to be of certain size. And this lambda parameter is some sort of, you know, a tuning parameter. If you want to make a deterministic allocation saying that, you know, I want to guarantee that, you know, all files will be accessed, you know, there is no, I don't really care about the access pattern, but all I want is seamlessness and location independence, then you can make lambda go at most to one, okay? But if you want to do some sort of statistical multiplexing saying that, you know, the access patterns are different files could be used in a different fashion and things like that, then you can let lambda grow beyond one, and that depends on, you know, what kind of stat marks you want to achieve in the network. So this is kind of the intuition behind, you know, how we go about placing these files into different locations in the data center in a service provider's network. Now we went ahead and implemented an initial prototype of this kind of distributed storage cloud. So this is a screenshot from the implementation. So here you see that, you know, there are several gateway nodes through which the enterprise connects. So this is the, you know, the edge of the cloud. And then we have routers and these yellow boxes at the storage. And then the enterprise will connect to this storage cloud using their VPN connections. And then you could think of a provisioning screen. Again, I mean, this is a really early stage prototype, and this kind of provisioning will be integrated with the network management system, essentially the VPN provisioning system. So many of these things will be already known to the service provider. Like, you know, if you think of a user, think of an enterprise, you know, what are the connection points, because the VPN already gives you that. What is the bandwidth for these VPN connections and so on and so forth. So once you have that, the distributed storage provisioning cloud will automatically provision the enterprise, and find out the best places where these files could be stored. And the way it would work out now is, it will provision the storage for the customer at the optimal storage locations, and then it will run a file system in the cloud and export the file system to the user. Okay, and in our system, what we did is we didn't start from scratch, so we took a file system, open source file system that is available in the Linux distribution called Ceph, and we modified it, and we run the file system within the cloud. And I'll just go get into a little bit of detail of that, and then export an NFS interface to the enterprise users, so that the enterprise users do not see any of these details of how the file system is working within the cloud. So as I said, Ceph is a distributed file system, and without getting into the details of it, it uses object-based storage for storing the file. And the metadata and the file is, they are put into two different clusters. A file will be segmented into multiple objects, and then it will be stored into different storage nodes. And there will be a metadata server that will give all the metadata information about the file. And then on the other side, the client, when it accesses the file, it has, there are two implementation. One is at the user mode, and the other is the kernel mode. And that is essentially used by the client to talk to the storage server and get the content. So in our case, we run this client process at the gateway where the enterprise connects to, and the server side runs in the cloud. And this gateway now acts as a client for the enterprise users, and then it exports an NFS interface on the other side. So that way the file is accessed from a user in the enterprise. There are several things that we had to change. So just to give you a flavor of that I can explain within time is one of the things that we had to change in Ceph is the placement. So Ceph has a very strict placement rule where they randomly throw around all the objects so that their goal is to optimize the resource usage and the load distribution and things like that. So a file will be divided into objects, then each object will be mapped into placement groups, and the placement group could be replicated into different storage nodes. So for our case, so these are all, many of these things are built into the kernel. So in our case, the kind of thing that we had to make sure of is that, we always do the placement based on where the user is coming from and the mount location and things like that. So this is just to give you a flavor, but there are a lot of other changes that we had to do to make sure this Ceph works. But we did not change any semantics of the file system. We are just talking about how to do provisioning and placement. So those are the parts that we have to change. And we ran some preliminary experiments to see whether this kind of allocation really makes sense. So what this allocation essentially does is it is kind of trading off the bandwidth vis-a-vis moving around the files. So there are some file systems that have been proposed that try to optimize the file system based on the access pattern of the users. Okay, and if the access pattern changes, they move around the content within the cloud, and then make sure that the user demands are satisfied. But in our case, we find that that essentially increases your OPEX a lot if you move around files. So we wanted to keep that allocation fixed and trade it off with bandwidth. So now we take just the opposite of what we do and try to compare it against that. So in the bandwidth level provisioning, what we are saying is I will look around, I look for the pattern that for the files, and then based on the pattern, I can move around files and at that time when I do a new placement, I'll try to optimize the bandwidth usage per link. And proximity aware is essentially, again, looking at the pattern, but when you optimize, you go for the closest location from the users. So we ran simulation experiments. So this is where we are, the axis oblivious. So this is where we do one-time allocation, and this is the maximum link utilization. So here you would see that, you know, bandwidth aware is doing better because, you know, it is always trying to optimize the bandwidth, and proximity aware will not be doing better because it is not taking the network into consideration. It is just looking for, you know, how close the file should be from the user. Now, so these are the numbers. So here, you know, this bandwidth aware is about 20% less, whereas proximity aware is 50% higher than us. But in this measurement, I mean, we have not taken into consideration the bandwidth that we need to move the files around. So then, you know, both bandwidth aware and proximity aware will probably go up a little. Again, these are preliminary experiments that we have done using the system. So what we have done, so let me just conclude that, you know, we have presented an architecture. This is custom built for the service provider's cloud. That would enable service provider to provide, you know, cloud services that could be used by enterprise to outsource their IT needs. So there are several benefits. I mean, this is geared for, you know, reducing OPEX for the service provider, but by not, you know, moving files around when the user file access pattern changes. And there are several good things about the provisioning system. You know, it can guarantee you know optimal performance. And if you want to do statistical multiplexing, you can do that. And the provisioning system, you know, allows very easy way to admit new users, and it will also allow users to move around in the enterprise team.
Mm-hmm. So what exactly does an enterprise need to specify when storing volumes? Does it need to be done at file granularity, or is it at some higher level granularity?
This is at a higher level granularity. The enterprise would say that, you know, this is my VPN endpoints, and I would like to outsource my file system. And how many replications and how many chunks, these are all going to be determined by the service provider's provisioning system. Okay. And, you know, the enterprise may play a role saying that, you know, I want so many and so on and so forth. But these are all parameters that are used for the placement algorithm, which is within the cloud. And these are all transparent to the enterprise.
And I guess there's also assumption that the reliability is built into the system.
Right. I mean, we have not addressed the reliability part now because, you know, many of these things are currently built into Ceph, and we are exploiting that. So here what I'm saying is if the chunk sizes are proportional, okay, so size P1, P2, and size of Q1, Q2, if they're proportional, then when you access, let's say from E1, if you access file P, you'll be getting, you know, part P1 from C1 and P2 from C2. And if you look at the traffic distribution for that, you know, the traffic that will come from C1 will always be beta times the traffic that will come from C2, okay? And that is true for all the other endpoints, all the other edge points also, E1, E2, and E3. That is how this placement is working, okay? So now, regardless of which location the user comes from, it is always, so the black line is always beta times the purple one, okay? So that gives us kind of, location independence. So regardless of where I come, I know that for this user, if this user wants to access a file, it is always going to be, one and beta. That is the ratio that it will be distributed in. Similarly, regardless of which file the user is accessing, whether it is P or Q, it is always going to be in that ratio. And that is the, again, I mean, this intuition is a little hard to explain in a chart. So that is the kind of intuition that we had when we formulated the problem. So this is essentially the key point in ensuring that you have a file independent and location independent storage placement.